Hello and welcome to episode 15 of the Fitness Mindset Podcast with Kate Newdecker. Today I am joined by Sam Pepys, who is a specialist in strength and conditioning and mobility, and he has a background in professional football. He's a pretty cool guy. So Sam, thank you very much for coming onto the show. Would you like to give a bit of an introduction of yourself and what you're about?
Yes, certainly. Well, thanks for having me on.
No problem.
So my name is Sam Pepys. I'm a strength and conditioning coach by trade. I have actually been a coach for about 5 years now, but I've actually been a personal trainer for even longer. Now I've been in the industry for 8 years. I have no idea where that time has gone.
As you said,
I've got a background in professional football. I used to work for a Premier League football club. I took a year out quite recently just to try and, to reassess and basically get the things over the line with the new job that I've been offered. So now I'm going back into football, working under a football agency, which is great.
Awesome. Yeah, it's kind of really happened very quickly in the last year for you, hasn't it, Sam? So you've got a lot of different opportunities. You've got fantastic content. It's obviously how I discovered you. You've got some really great informative content out there. So
I mean, for me, the year out is hugely beneficial for me. It allowed me to sort of take a step back and concentrate on Instagram a little bit. I mean, I'm not saying I'm never going to be fully dedicated towards it, but it just allowed me to dabble a little bit and try and get some good content out there, which I hope has been well received.
It does. It's very helpful. And I mean, you must get a lot of questions coming in about programming, about strength and conditioning, about mobility. So I know you particularly concentrate on mobility training. So why do you highly recommend mobility alongside strength programs?
So for me, I mean, as you know, strength training is high. It's extremely taxing on the body, the joints, etc. So running some form of mobility-based protocol alongside the strength training will not only allow you to help maintain range of motion, but also reduce the likelihood of picking up an injury throughout your strength training.
Absolutely. And it's that injury prevention as well that it helps with a lot as well. And you must see that in helping with professional footballers. It's something that...
Yeah, I mean, that's the absolute numero uno for working with athletes or just general population.
Absolutely. It kind of brings me on to what I wanted to ask. And obviously, there's a lot of listeners that may just play football at the weekends, recreationally. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they might not go to the gym that much during the week, but their exercise is doing that football at the weekend or doing the rugby at the weekend.
Yeah.
Would you say that there would be a reason for preventative exercises against injury and mobility protocol? Or is it more of a case of, if it is broke, don't fix it? Would you say it's necessary, or would you say it's okay to just go into doing that kind of stuff?
I mean, there are two sides to this one. I mean, obviously you can't mess with literature. There are, it's known that there are various different parts of the body that are prone to injury through playing a game of football, okay? And obviously you can do certain things in order to prevent these injuries from happening. These non-contact injuries, you can do things in the gym to prevent this from happening, but obviously the contact stuff is a little bit harder to prevent. But at the end of the day, people who are playing recreational football week in, week out, perhaps don't have the facilities or the expertise to be able to monitor certain things. Luckily when I was working at a football club, we monitored players every other week. We did certain range of motion tests, throughout the ankle, lumbar pelvic area, as well as adductor strength. So we had all this data that we could use week in, week out to determine where they were, whether they're dropping off, is there any weaknesses occurring? Because anything over 20% decrease in baseline data, is basically a flag.
Yeah.
They'll then be referred to a physio and blah blah blah. The average recreational footballer probably doesn't have the facilities for this. It makes it a little bit harder, but there are still so many things you can be doing to improve, adductor strength, groin strength, hamstring strength, which are the muscles that are prone to injury and playing football.
Yeah, I think a lot of strengthening alongside recreation, your football that you do at the weekend would be, it's only going to help you in terms of it's going to make it more enjoyable for you. If you're not going to be injured or worried about getting injured, it's going to be important for you to have that going alongside it. So it's only going to be
beneficial. Not only from an injury prevention perspective, but from a performance perspective. You know, if you're improving the ability of your muscles to create force, you're going to be improving your ability to perform on the pitch. You know, so
exactly.
There's two sides to that one.
I would
definitely encourage some form of gym work in and around your midweek training and your game, for sure.
Absolutely, and I think, to be honest, as much as people think, oh, it's just a bit of fun at the weekend, you know, I'm not too bothered about performance, you know, it's still competition, it's still friendly fun, and you want to do better, you want to be able to recover better when you do your sprints, so it's important. It's really important. So
at the end of the day, everyone wants to win anyway. So.
Yeah, exactly. We can't deny
that. You can't find that small margin to get one of your opponent, and yeah, why not?
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure it makes for better banter down the pub afterwards as well. So it's worth it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
When it comes to a training program, and maybe someone's got a program put together by someone else, or they've put it together themselves, What ensures the success of a training program?
From a programming perspective, the principle of progressive overload. Now, for your listeners, that's continually, the principle is basically continually increasing demands on the body in order to bring about a certain improvement, i.e. strength, aerobic capacity, etc. Now, you've got certain variables here that you can use on a weekly basis in order to create that overload. Rep sets, it creates volume, you've got your intensity, which is load, you've got your frequency for the number of times you go per week, you know, the rest period, you know, tempo. You've got all of these lovely little things at your disposal on a weekly basis in order to create this overload week in, week out. Now, I think that's probably the fundamental to from a programming perspective in order to create a certain outcome. Now, there's other elements involved as well, such as what you're being given, being achievable and realistic. Someone's relative strength is pretty low and they're being asked to then squat two times body weight. It's pretty unrealistic and it's going to make them feel pretty feeble and probably injure them at the same time. So that's another factor. And also consistency. I mean, you probably, you know, everyone hears it week in, week out with regards to, like, achieving your goals.
Absolutely.
Being consistent with the training, not just dabbling here, there and everywhere, week in, week out, going in, getting the job done and recovering.
Absolutely. And I think with consistency, there's going to be also components that are going to help with that consistency. So you've also got that it's an enjoyable program, that you're having fun. But obviously...
Yeah. It has to be something that keeps bringing you back.
Yeah, absolutely.
I completely feel that.
And I think with strength programs, what gives you that enjoyment is seeing the progress that you make, and that's what makes you want to go back and make more progress. Especially for people who go to the gym and they're new to strength training, that obviously the progression they make usually at the beginning is quite large. Do you see with a lot of clients at the beginning of their training, they make quite a lot of progress?
Oh, absolutely. That sort of neural adaptation you get with sort of beginners is always quite fun for a strength coach. Because you see the numbers fly and everything's tickety-boom.
Absolutely. And obviously, to ensure that success of having progress, consistency, you've got to have the adequate recovery. Now, recovery is something that really often gets missed by people because, you know, they enjoy it loads, they want to go back in every single day. How much recovery in terms of sleep, protein, what do you recommend for people in a strength training program?
Well, the funny thing is that recovery is actually the most important part of the whole process, but a lot of people are actually pretty bad at doing so. Mm-hmm. A number of reasons for that. I mean, I was definitely guilty of it in the past. You know, being an avid gym goer, all I want to do is just keep moving, keep lifting, blah, blah, blah. but eventually you realize the importance of it. Now, with regards to recovery in between certain sessions, this is entirely subjective, very much dependent on the individual. With regards to a strength cycle, I'm a massive advocate. I mean, with athletes, I always load them for 3 weeks and then deload on a fourth week. Now, the deload week basically is a reduction in intensity, volume, intensity being the load, by the way, for listeners. it's basically your rest week. You're still keeping the body moving. You're still going through the motions, doing the lifts, but at anything up to sort of 50% reduction in the weight. Now, this gives you an analysis in the middle of a chance to recover in between a strength cycle without doing absolutely nothing. Now, with sort of general pop, I tend to do more loads for 5 weeks and then deload on the sixth.
Mm-hmm.
There are obviously other markers you can look at in between. If you feel they're not progressing the way they should be week on week, there could be some other intervening factors which you obviously want to investigate further, and then if need be, then rein it in a little bit earlier.
Mm.
On a weekly basis, it really depends on training frequency. It's a tricky one to answer.
Yeah,
it really depends on the
frequency.
And obviously the level of the individual.
And that's the thing, with programming, recovery, anything, it's always down to the individual. There's going to be a lot of individuals obviously listening to this and applying it to their own programming, and I think that's what's important. It's not one size fits all. It's really looking at your program, and if you're not sure about anything, ask someone, ask a coach, ask someone who specializes in strength and conditioning, and get them to have a look at it and see if what you're doing is right, because there's no harm in it at all.
Yeah, I mean, if you are someone who programs for yourself, and perhaps you don't have a sort of a level of expertise when it comes to real max strength training, you've got to be mindful of obviously the training stressor in itself, and then the other training stressors that are involved. If you're going to a HIIT class I'm not going to name anyone. If you go to a high intensity class somewhere, and you've got that training stress on top of your strength training, The ability to accumulate over a certain period of time is pretty high. It's something to be mindful of. I'm not saying don't do it, just be mindful of that. And then obviously if you're, it's that old saying, listen to your body, which is another thing we're pretty bad at doing. If your body is tired, it's generally an indication that you need to just come off a fraction. Maybe take anything up to a week off, but 2-3 days, that sort of thing, then reassess and then take it from there.
Absolutely, and I think a lot of people they just don't listen to their body quite as much as they should do. And I mean, there's, like you say, there are a lot of studios where they kind of advocate 5 days in a row of HIIT training, and it's just not going to give you the recovery you need just to be even be alive,
At the end of the day, you want to be creating some form of fatigue, because that's going to be then how you adapt. But it's how you then recover is then whether you're going to get those adaptations or not.
Yeah.
So, you want to be creating some fatigue, but if you're not following a structured plan, I mean, you could just go on this fatigue roller coaster without even knowing about it. And then you burn out.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what are the warning signs of over fatigue, would you say?
So general day in day out fatigue, sleeping patterns might be disrupted. There's also been research has also said appetite, the hormonal stuff as well. There's a few markers to look out for that. And then obviously if you're not progressing in the gym, if you're struggling to finish sessions, you're calling them short, you're not lifting your increments for that week. There's a fair bit there.
Absolutely.
And you'll know about it. If you're getting to a sort of overtrained state, you'll know about it.
Yeah.
You might be a little bit agitated as well. That's another one. I've seen that before.
Yeah, exactly. Getting a bit agitated, getting a bit anxious, kind of feeling like, oh, I've got to go to the gym, I have to, feeling that pressure, but actually not having the desire to go, feeling like...
Well, that's the thing. That need to sort of go, but actually no desire to train is, that's probably your number one to look out for.
Absolutely. And I think it's kind of striking that balance with that one and saying you're not always going to feel like you want to hop into the gym and like and do the work, but sometimes your body is telling you that you need more rest. And it's striking the balance. Yeah. It's not going either way too far with that one. So
it's that old it's that R. Kelly song, isn't it? It's like my mind telling me no.
Yeah, exactly.
My mind's telling me no, but my body's
telling me yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Just like if you feel like you are trying to work out if you were just lacking motivation or it's fatigue, just listen to the R. Kelly song because it's really going to enlighten you to what's right.
Yeah.
you mentioned about shorter strength cycles, and I find that really interesting how you say if you're working with an athlete, for example, you put them on a deload on the fourth week. And I've actually been working with people with shorter strength cycles, I think it's very it's more widely known for progressive overload to go on strength cycles of 12 weeks. What's your reasoning for doing it on the shorter amount of time, the shorter strength cycle?
Well, the thing is that loading for three and then deloading on the fourth will still be part of an 8 or 12 week cycle overall, but it just means you're giving that rest week a little bit earlier than the average person. And the reason for this is because of their training stresses that they're doing outside of the gym. So their volume is going to be a lot higher than, for instance, than someone who's just going to the gym maybe 2-3 times a week. So they're going to accumulate fatigue a lot quicker than the average gym goer. Hence the reason why you just bring it forward a fraction. With regards to shorter strength cycles in general, not a massive advocate. The science doesn't weigh up there either. I mean, it really depends on the emphasis. I'd always, with anyone going to a max strength cycle, I'd always want to put a little bit of emphasis on like intramuscular loads initially, which is loads slightly lower, and then move them on to like intramuscular, which is where you head towards the sort of the twos, ones, max strength stuff. And this would be over the course of 8 to 12 weeks. I wouldn't want to try and accelerate anything between 2 to 6 weeks because, I mean, if you're trying to basically hit your increments 2 to 6 weeks and hitting the same loads as you would over 8 to 12, you're gonna do something
mental.
Wrong.
God, yeah. I mean, I wish it happened like that, but you'd probably just get really, really done in by doing that. It wouldn't be ideal.
Yeah. I mean, your increments are going to be silly. They're going to be like 10 kg a week and something crazy like that. So I'm not an advocate of that. I wouldn't advise it to anyone. Strength training is a slow process. Embrace it. Hit your increments week in, week out, but as long as they're realistic increments. Don't rush it.
Yeah, don't rush it. And I think that's the thing. I think people always think it's going to be personal best every single session, but it's brilliant when it happens, but it's not going to happen every session. And
it's certainly not.
Yeah.
Certainly not. I mean, strength training is an extremely empowering tool.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can feel great. Like one week you'll feel amazing, like top of the world, if you hit your load. But, you know, it's not linear. There's so many weird and wonderful things that will contribute to whether you get that weekly increment. And sometimes it doesn't even make sense. Sometimes it doesn't even add up. It could even be the difference between getting like, you know, half an hour's extra sleep or whatever, but you just never know because they're just factors you can't control.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think if you're working quite an intense job, maybe it's a physical job that you're doing alongside it, that's going to affect it as well. So
Absolutely.
And I think it's going back to that consistency of just showing up the sessions, is getting them done, and having realistic expectations of your program as well, which obviously a coach would be able to help you with as well. So, I mean, as a coach, what are three mistakes you frequently see people making with their training?
Right. Okay. I think my biggest pet peeve and number one has to be people go to the gym with no plan.
Yes. Or program hopping or
just generally entering the gym without a plan is, I think I mentioned this on one of my blogs, it's like going to the airport with no passport.
Yeah.
It's crazy. know, if you're walking in there and just expecting to wing it, I mean, the chance, you know, us humans, we have this wonderful ability to do the same things week in, week out, because it's in our comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if it's not written down, then the chances are you're going to stay in that comfort zone and do the same loads. You might do an extra rep here, there, and everywhere, but unless you've got something structured, then all you're doing yourself a disservice, to be honest.
Yeah, totally. It's that moment when you walk into the gym, and I've done it myself when I haven't had a program, and then I've thought, oh, well, this is being used. And then you kind of make up excuses in your head as to what you can't do. And you just want to eliminate any excuses that will pop up because, I mean, as humans, we're gonna come up with negative things every so often in our mind when we get into the gym because it's hard. And eliminating that is important.
Well, yeah, if you're doing something pretty gnarly, if you're doing some volume training or something, it gets pretty tough pretty quickly. If your numbers aren't actually written down, the chances are you're going to call it a day slightly earlier when things start to get a little bit tricky.
Totally. Totally.
It's like there's that age-old saying, once it's on the board, or once the numbers are on the board, you have to do them. Once the numbers are written down, then you've got to do them. But if they're not written down, then you've got a massive or a great excuse to do whatever the hell you feel like.
All the excuses, absolutely. If you could just, if it's there, then you just get it done, you just switch off. And I think that's where people get that sort of mental freedom from going to the gym. It's almost like meditative for people that they can kind of just work through a program. It's such a stress relief. So,
but it's also people, occasionally people think they're going to get a medal just for sort of rocking up.
Yeah.
Just going into the gym and wandering around, doing a few bits, and then, it doesn't work like that.
It doesn't. And it's, yet again, just striking the balance between, yes, okay, it's good. It's good to show up for the session, and it's good to get something done. It's better than nothing, but you have to really make sure that you're sticking to something. Otherwise, you're not going to have that progressive overload, which you mentioned earlier, which is
strength program. Yeah, the chances of you blagging that progressive overload week in, week out is next to none. So, really important to just have it written down.
Totally.
And it's quite satisfying. You can see your progress week in, week out.
It's beneficial for you. In terms of, I see it a lot with people where they program HOP quite a lot. So they'll have a program and then they'll say, I'm not getting the results from this one. I'm going to go on to another one. How long would you say that someone should really stick with the program before they change it?
I think you've got to give it a chance.
Totally.
If you're hopping after sort of 2 weeks, I think that's a bit harsh. I think, you know, you've got to allow 2 weeks. You know, give it a good chance to, you know, 8 weeks. Sorry, not 2 weeks. 2 months. 8 weeks is pretty good length of time to be able to achieve something.
And I think it's good to note to people that there's some coaches that might advocate the saying of try to confuse the muscle, trick the muscles by changing your program. Would you really say it's not really very beneficial to do that?
At what point? Do you mean at any point throughout a cycle?
Like session to session, changing the program session to session to confuse the muscle.
No, I think if you're manipulating those variables in the correct manner, which is essentially a form of, it could be classified as a form of shocking the muscle, as it were.
Yeah.
If you're manipulating them in the correct manner, then that's the ammo you need. I wouldn't just completely rearrange the whole thing. Sometimes if you're struggling at a certain point during a cycle, changing the order can be beneficial,
yeah.
But not completely changing the whole emphasis, because it's almost like starting from scratch again. Believe in the process.
Cool. So obviously
my number two. Can I get on to my number two now?
Yeah, of course. Go for it.
Yeah, I've still got a little bit more for you.
Go for it.
My second training mistake would be quick fixes.
Yes.
People looking for that quick fix. No, I suppose this kind of ties in with what you were talking about just now. You know, people aren't achieving what they want after 2 weeks, which would be classified as a very quick fix, then, you know, they might be inclined to sort of move on. Going back to what I said, you've got to be patient with these things. It's like body composition as well. It doesn't happen overnight. You have to be extremely consistent over a long period of time in order to bring about the changes. And it's the same as strength training or muscle gain. It's a slow process, and you just got to bear with it. Do what you're being advised to do week in, week out, and you can't ask for much more.
Exactly, and I think it's managing expectations with your progress, which is pretty important. Do you have a third mistake that you see at all?
I do. Forcing the agenda. It's known as forcing the agenda.
Yes.
Now, it's not quite the same as quick fixes. It's to do with forcing the body to do something it's not capable of doing.
Mm-hmm.
This could be anything from a specific range of motion on a lift or a load. Trying to force the body to do something it's really not capable of doing. By doing this, you're going to unearth something pretty nasty over a certain period of time, which is obviously what I try and avoid. At the end of the day, it's all about injury prevention.
Mm-hmm.
That results in the old ego lifting as well. I think that still exists. You see a lot of those videos floating around on Instagram of people doing ridiculous things. At the end of the day, you'll be rewarded for being able to lift year round than if you do a big lift and then have to take a sabbatical because your back's bugging.
Absolutely. I think as well, it's thinking, yes, okay, you're going to be able to train the next few weeks, but are you going to be able to exercise when you're 50 plus? And I think that's so important that we're forgetting that exercise is going to be for life. It's going to be, you've really got to be doing resistance training for the rest of your life if you can. Yeah, I mean, that would be ideal.
Absolutely. I mean, this is, the benefits of strength training for men and women are endless. And, this is when you're in your youth, this is the sort of time to make the gains and make the progress. But if you're overloading a terrible movement pattern and creating asymmetries all over the place, then the chances are it's only going to get worse when you get older.
Yeah, I think it's also being aware of what your body is, the imbalances in your body, and making sure your program is structured towards that. Facilitate long-term progress, really, without injury.
Absolutely. I mean, this goes back to, why I put so much emphasis on mobility and why, I screen my clients religiously, as you know.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
To obviously get to the bottom of all of this. So, it's the same with online coaching as well. I would never put a load on someone's back without seeing the way they move.
Yeah.
I'd feel guilty if I did. So it's just, a lot of it is sort of tick boxing, but at the end of the day, you're getting clearance. You're not then going to exacerbate something that's already present, or something's not then just going to get worse.
I think that's a good note to bring it all together on, that it's about longevity, it's about consistency, like you said, and also being educated as well as to what the right thing is to do. So obviously, don't be afraid to ask for help from people and just listen to your body and look after yourself as well. So I think those are some really good actionable tips for people to take along with them on their fitness journey. Thank you so much for coming on to my podcast today, Sam. So if
pleasure,
you'd like
pleasure,
to...
Pleasure, absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me.
No problem at all. I mean, if you'd like to leave the listeners with your handle, so Instagram, website, anything you want to leave so that people can give you a follow and follow your content.
Yes, my Instagram handle is Sam_Peeps_Performance. That is my main social handle. So if you want some tips and tricks on strength training and mobility, you'll find
it. Absolutely. It's really informative content. It's really actionable to take away with you. So I highly recommend you give him a follow. So thank you very much, Sam, for coming onto the show.
Thank you so much. All right, I hope it's been helpful.